Subject today, the shepherd's response at the birth of Christ. And our scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this registration was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Again, verse 8 says that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. The NIV has it, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Who were these men upon whom the angel of the Lord came? I would like to say that I believe them to be the sons of David. These were not ordinary shepherds. These were the sons of David. Bethlehem was crowded with the sons of David. The Bible commentators are wont to tell us that Mary and Joseph found no room in the inn because all of the sons of David had converged upon Bethlehem. And the shepherds were not exempt from the decree of Caesar. They too had to return to the place of their ancestry. And there they were nearby Bethlehem, tending their flocks. And so they, in all likelihood, were of the house and lineage of David. They, like David, were shepherds. They did the same work he did. They tended the flocks the same way David had tended his flocks. When they guided those flocks along the paths, they walked the same pathways that David had walked. When they lay down at night, their heads rested where David had rested and looked up into the same gloriously starry skies. These were the sons of David. David had been a shepherd in these very fields. The things that had been written about David and by him, they had learned from their youth. David was an unparalleled warrior and hero of the nation of Israel. the one who had been raised up on high, the anointed of God, its sweet psalmist. And the words he had written of praise and adoration to his God were on the lips and in the hearts of the shepherds who walked the paths that David walked and who were of his house and lineage. David was a man after God's own heart, and so they were chosen vessels, prepared of the Lord, and receptive to the message that they would hear. They were not just any shepherds out that night who happened to see an angel. The angel was sent to them. They were chosen of the Lord. What was their initial response? Their initial response was fear. They were afraid of this unique and powerful being who had come upon them at night from out of the heavens. They could handle a snake or a wolf, even perhaps a bear or a lion, as David had done. They could handle a thief. But how do you handle this? This being of incredible power and light coming to them from out of the heavens in the middle of the night. And they were struck with fear. But the scriptures tell us they were very much afraid because of the glory of the Lord which shone round about them. We read in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 17 a description of the glory of the Lord, where it is said that the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire, and it enveloped them. It shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. They were very much afraid. I believe that they saw themselves, as in the words of Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And his devouring fire was about to take them up. And they were very much afraid. And then the angel gives a message of incredible beauty and import, a message which has blessed for 2,000 years and will go on blessing. Fear not. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. As a young child who was barely able to walk, I can recall an occasion where I had been left by my mother in the care of my older brother, and she had gone into the kitchen to do some things. And at length he left the room, and in sheer boredom and curiosity, I crawled up onto a couch and out onto a window ledge and looked down at the pavement 1.5 floors below. My dad worked next door, and one of his co-workers, who was crippled, managed to come over and say, "Bobby, get back, get back, get back." I didn't need a new perspective on where I lived. I didn't need fresh air. I didn't need the variety of standing there and seeing somebody move his arms and make sounds. I didn't know it, but I needed someone to save me. And by the grace of God, my mother did. I need a Savior. A year or so later, there was another occasion where I had gone outdoors and been playing with my older brother. And in time, we grew thirsty. And we came inside and asked for something to drink. My mother took a clean glass and filled it with cold water for him. And when he had finished, she took it and filled it halfway up for me. I wasn't going to have a bit of that. And so I protested, and she said, "Well, it's either that or nothing," and I left. And shortly she heard me crying outside, and she thought he's just being stubborn. And I cried, and I cried, and the crying was loud, and finally, after a couple of minutes, she opened the door to scold me, and my hand had been stuck in the door. I didn't need a drink. I didn't need someone to tell me what to do with my hands. I was helpless. I needed someone to save me. And she did. I needed a Savior. I can remember some years ago awakening to the sound of breaking glass. And opening my eyes, I saw lights moving on the window. And so I got out of bed and looked out, and the home across the street was engulfed in flames. The flames were just pouring out of the lower windows and devouring the house rapidly. No one was in the streets. No one. There was no siren sounding. And so I went to the phone quickly and reported the fire. When I got back to the window, a police car was just drawing up. And the policemen jumped out and ran around the building, and they found an elderly man out on that ledge of the first floor, and they got a ladder and rescued him. He didn't need friends and neighbors at that time. He had plenty of them. He didn't need his home, nor anything in it. What he needed was someone to save him. And he was saved. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, we read, "All we like sheep, you and I, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." And in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It was this glory that enveloped the shepherds and gave them an acute awareness of their own sin and vileness before the Lord. They needed a Savior. We bear the stain of guilt. We are bowed under the shackles of sin. We rightly stand under the judgment and condemnation of a holy God and are on our way to hell. We don't need alcohol or drugs or misguided counsel to make us feel better and to be able to live with the fact that we are guilty. We don't need television to show us sin, that we might learn to deal with it or to distract us from our problems. What we need, what we desperately need, is someone to save us. We need a Savior. I've told you two stories about my mother. I think she would be embarrassed to have heard. Let me tell you another. My mother was a good woman and a precious and faithful friend. And I loved her dearly. 2 years ago, she was also a sinner like you and me. And 2 years ago, this week, she suffered a massive stroke. And on Christmas Eve, went to be with the Lord. She was a sinner like you and me. She needed a Savior. But one day, as a girl, she had placed her faith and trust in Christ. And that Savior was waiting to greet her with open arms as she passed into eternity. And what an incredible consolation that is. She needed a Savior, and she had one. The message, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For you who feel the stain of guilt, here is one who can wash you through and through and make you pure." Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." My wish for you this season is that you might have that kind of a white Christmas. For you who are bowed by sin, here is one who can break sin's shackles and set you free. For you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, here is one who can fill you. For all who are rightly on their way to hell, here is the only one who can save. What was the shepherd's response? Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. The angel had said, Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And when the shepherds took and heard that word, they made it a part of themselves, and went swiftly to find the babe lying in a manger. They obeyed and went with haste. Verse 17 says, And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I have a niece named Kristen, and some years ago when my wife and I lived back in the Buffalo area, I was preparing a gospel message for the assembly we were in fellowship with that day. Kristen was just a toddler. She was perhaps 3 years old. And on the few occasions where she had come to visit, I had of late shared with her a little piece of glow-in-the-dark silly putty, and she thought it was the world's greatest thing. Sheer magic. This stuff would stretch, it would take on different shapes, it would take the pattern off a newspaper, it would glow in the dark, it would bounce. There were so many things that it would do. Every time she came, the first thing she wanted was to put her hands on that glow-in-the-dark silly putty. So I brought it with me to the chapel. And had Kristen been there, I was going to call her up or go down to her and give her the silly putty as a gift. Middle of the message. You know what would have happened? She would have squealed with delight. She would have gone to her mother and dad and said, Mommy, Daddy, Uncle Bob gave me the glow-in-the-dark silly putty. And then she would have found her grandparents and told them. And no matter what else was going on, she would have shared the good news. When I was a new Christian, a babe in Christ, I had a friend. I was in the Navy, and I had a friend, young Greek guy, Jimmy Varela. And every time I would uncover something from the Scriptures, I would share it with my friend. I couldn't keep it in. I couldn't keep it in. One day Jimmy told me, Vaughton, you're always talking to me about this Jesus of yours. I'm a Greek Orthodox. I've been all my life. My parents and my grandparents, as far back as you can go, have been Greek Orthodox, and I'm not about to change my faith. I said, Jimmy, I'm not asking you to change your religion. I'm just asking you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him. What you do with your religion is your business. I left that ship. I went to a different ship, and a couple of years later, Jimmy came aboard the ship to visit me. About to get out of the Navy. He said, after you left, there was another person on board who began to say the same things to me that you had said. And I want you to know I've given my heart to Christ. And I'm going on to college and getting into the ministry. He had embraced the gospel. And having embraced it, he couldn't hold it in. The shepherds immediately became the first evangelists, spreaders of the good news, the good tidings of great joy. These were otherwise common people. The wise men had met with Herod. The shepherds would make known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child to common people, to farmers, to craftsmen, to traders, laborers, fishermen, and the like. People who would years later be the kind of people who formed the majority of the followers of Jesus. Having embraced the gospel, having embraced the good news, they couldn't keep it in, and they had to share it. And then in Luke 2, verse 20, we read, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Like the multitude of the heavenly host, who had earlier praised and glorified God, the shepherds returned, praising and glorifying God. Are you lonely? lost, weary, worn, stained by sin, ashamed of what you've done. Don't be afraid. I have good news of great joy. For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God is no liar. He is true to his word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Savior will be yours." Most likely, you have already heard this message and have received it with joy. Then, like these shepherds, tell others what you know. The natural outworking of the possession of the gospel is the sharing of the gospel. My prayer is that the Savior, the Lord of glory, the one who inhabits the praises of his people, would bless, enrich, and beautify you, and give you joy as you praise and honor and share him this Christmas season. May we pray. Our Lord, what can we say as we come before you with the vision of a baby so long ago laid in a manger in a town called Bethlehem? A one who would grow and work all kinds of miracles and healing and speak the words of truth and of peace. The one who would one day hang upon the cross and die for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that we have this great and unspeakable gift of a Savior. And may he be honored in our hearts and lives this day, we pray. In his precious name, amen.